You deserve to have your innards rearranged, you swamp-sucking.
He stopped abruptly. Philba's eyes were even more bulbous and distended than usual. His wide gash of a mouth opened and closed, either questing for air or trying to speak, and apparently not succeeding at either. The small arms were waving about in panic. The jug slipped from his hand and shattered on the floor. Philba lurched forward, drawing more and more of his bulk upright until it seemed impossible that he could maintain his balance. He swayed, a mottled tower of flab and slime, then toppled, crashing down to the floor. Blade bent over the motionless form. He touched the hut's back, perhaps feeling for some kind of pulse. Then he turned to the broken ale jug, lifted a shard, and sniffed it. A peculiar expression spread over his face, equal parts understanding, anger, and bafflement. He stood frozen for a moment, then hurled the fragment to break against the wall. The entrance chime activated. A muffled pounding was heard, as were concerned shouts. Philba's collapse had probably been noticed by everyone in the area. Dan would not have been surprised if the Separatists hadn't felt it as well. Blade turned to the door. He smoothed his uniform, made sure no metal hung even slightly askew, and then opened it. Dan knew it was time to go. The Moon Moth was immune to most detection devices, but shortly, Tex would likely be going over this chamber with gadgets that could hear an electron shifting shells. He made the Moon Moth fly off the shelf toward the entrance, which was already filled with confused and shocked faces. A hand came out of nowhere, moving so fast it just seemed to appear. Dan gasped as his point of view shifted violently, and then, suddenly, the Moon Moth was being held close to Blade's face. The Admiral was staring, it seemed, right into Den's eyes. A second later, the hand closed into a fist. There was a flash as the piezoelectric shorted out, and then blackness. It was, other than Philba's demise, a quiet day. There was a lull in the fighting, and no medlifters arrived bearing wounded, a welcome rarity. The activity around Philba's death was exciting enough. The Plithvine carried rumors everywhere. As Barriss made her medical rounds in the ward, even the patients knew about it. She overheard the Ugnaughts gossiping.
Yar, the hut drank poison. Suicide for sure. He beat a spy. It war Philba who bloated the Bota transport. No lie, blood. They were closing in on him. He saw it coming.
Hadn't Admiral Blade himself gone to see the hut just before Philba had croaked? No doubt, it had been to question him about his activities.
He was also stealing Bota, didn't you know? That little reporter, Durr. He was on the hut like sleeks on swamp scum, nosing around, building a case, and Philba was on the verge of being arrested, and he had taken the poison to avoid being court-martialed and executed,
and so on. Barriss didn't add to the gossip. She just listened as she went about her duties. If the suicide rumor was true, then it might mean she would be leaving Drongar soon. Her mission to find out who had been stealing Bota would be over, if it truly had been the hut. And from the talk, it seemed it had. How many thieves, after all, were likely to be operating at the same time in a small outfit like this? The day faded into evening, and eventually Barriss was finished with her medical chores. She decided to skip dinner and go to her cubicle. The camp was quiet as night crept over it. Few people were about. Shift change was long past, and most were either eating supper or resting or doing whatever it was they did when they weren't working. As Barriss neared the mouth of the alley that led to her quarters, she felt a presence in the shadows. She saw no one, but the force's prompt was clear and unmistakable, almost the psychic equivalent of a hand on her shoulder. She stopped. Her hand moved slowly toward her lightsaber.
You won't need that, a voice said. I'm not going to do you any real harm. Just teach you a little lesson in humility. You Jedi are big on that, aren't you?
Foe Jai. She still couldn't see him, but she knew where he was, just over there, in the dark shadow of a quiet power generator a few meters to her right. What makes you think you are the person to give lessons in humility? Fo Jai glided from the darkness. Those who can, do. Those who can't, don't. Very succinct. What do you want? Like I said, a lesson is required. The last time we chatted, you tripped me from behind. I owe you a return of the favor. I think a mud bath is only fair. Nothing serious, no broken bones or anything. This is an exercise in reciprocity, nothing more. If your force can stop me, then by all means. He held his arms wide in a beckoning gesture. Use it. Jai settled into a stance, legs planted low and wide. He raised his hands, beckoned with one in a flippant gesture. Come, Jedi. Shall we dance a little? Barriss tried to control herself. I shouldn't be doing this. I should refuse and walk away. Let him think I'm afraid. What does it matter? But he should respect the Jedi, even if he didn't respect her. It sat poorly with her to hear the name of her order coded with contempt. She stayed where she was. Jai smiled. Good move. You don't want to be committed one way or the other when facing a skilled opponent. He circled to his right, and Barriss moved away from him, maintaining a wary distance. The temptation to reach for the Force, to use it to flatten Jai, was almost overwhelming. She had no doubt she could do it. One gesture, and Jai would fly into the nearest tree like a rabid rock bat. No fighter, no matter what his physical strength, could pit muscle against the Force and prevail. She would win the battle if she did it. But she knew she might lose the war.